All right. What time does the music start?
Let's do it. Bum, bum, ba-dum. It starts now.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go.
Here we are again. Oh, hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's me, Molly. You're listening to Make Me Smart Daily Edition, where Kai and I try our darndest to make today make sense. For those of you who have literally stopped or been unable to keep track, today is Wednesday. Or, as thanks to Erica Phillips, we like to call it, What Do You Want to Know Wednesdays?
Oh, that's really good. I like that.
Isn't that
so
good?
I like that.
Good job, Erica.
Because what we do on Wednesdays on Make Me Smart Daily is take your questions, a little bit explain-a-thon style, as many as we can in the 12 to 15-ish minute window that we have given ourselves. Not going to get to all of them, but keep them coming, and we'll do what we can.
Yeah, like not even close, because you guys have questions. I also have this next question that I'm about to read from listener Daniel Beck, who writes, I would love, because I read this earlier and I was like, no clue. I would love to hear more about bear rallies. I've only recently heard the term for the first time, and it seems that it may help explain what we're seeing in the market since the last few days that seem completely divorced from reality and unaffected by things like the unemployment numbers or everything else happening in the world.
Yes. So, look, this is a really good question, right? Two definitions to start with. A bull market is one that goes up 20% from its most recent lows. A bear market is one that is down 20% from its most recent highs. And we have been most definitely in a bear market, as you know. But what happened last week was that there was a rally inside this bear market, and we had technically a bull market. Right. It was up 20% from its most recent low of, like, you know, 14 days ago or whatever the hell it was. But then,
and
of course,
stocks
have slid
right?
since. It literally lasted 24 hours. Right.
Yep.
So you can get rallies inside a bear market. OK, the same way. And this is going to make people's heads explode. The same way you can get recessions inside a depression. We all know the Great Depression, right? 1929 and 1941, plus or minus.
I'm glad you're doing this things again, because I heard it earlier on the show and I was like, I could hear that
things,
again.
Things were looking really good along about 1936, 1937. Roosevelt had come in, jump-started the economy, unemployment was down, blah, blah, blah. And then after the 1936 elections, a lot of things got turned around. And in 1937, there was a recession inside the Great Depression. Unemployment went back up, productivity fell again. So the phrases bear market and bull market are broad, encompassing phrases, right? And within those, you can have lots of smaller moves that are inside a different trend line, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So that's what a bear rally is. We have been having, until today, right? This is Wednesday, and the market, the Dow was down, you know, 4.5%. In fact, all the major indices were down 4.5% across the board. We've been having a little rally, and now we're not anymore.
And I think it's important to note that for that rally, you made new music.
Oh, the Sad Happy. I love the
Sad
Happy. It actually came from the Great Recession, when it was really sad. And we had a little bit of happy upbeat times, and we decided it was really weird playing the actual happy music. So we created the
Sad
Happy.
Yeah, it's not right. Oh, so it was. It's making a return. It's boomeranging.
It is making a return. It is a reprise. Huh. Reprise. I don't even know how to say that. Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, so there you go.
There you go. Bear rally. You don't even really need the long technical explanation. You just need to know it's sad happy music.
Sad. That's the end. Right. Okay. Heidi Tryon in Estes Park, Colorado. She wants to know this: are the three credit bureaus planning any sort of reporting holiday or grace period where they won't report late or missed payments? Would be a shame for us to come out on the other side of this thing with millions of people's credit ratings ruined. And let's remember the credit rating bureaus, right? They get to decide who gets loans, would they give you a number, all that stuff. And that's important. It matters.
Mm-hmm. No. They're not.
Sorry.
How much emotion did I pack into that one word?
It was all in the delivery. That was, oh my God. Little podcast gold right there.
There was apparently a proposal to do that as part of the stimulus package. The financial industry successfully lobbied to remove it. I personally have a lot of questions, not only about consumer credit scores. I mean, consumer credit as an industry is ripe for reform.
It's a racket. It's a racket. Are you kidding me?
It's a racket, as evidenced by Equifax and everything else that happened around it, and everything that has happened before or since.
Right.
But also credit cards. Like, I'm not seeing some credit card. I got an Apple card recently that was issued newly at, I know, I'm pretty excited. I decided we needed new phones during the apocalypse. Special. I was like, I'm not getting through this with this battery life. And it turns out the Apple card, anyway. However, in the midst of all of this, when like the, you know, the federal interest rate has been cut to near zero, and I know that these things are not in, these are not lockstep. But a new credit card was issued to me at 17% APR.
God,
there seems to be no sign.
Unbelievable.
I know. And let me just say that my credit is like a diamond. I have polished that thing over decades. It is my crown jewel. And I got that thing at 17%.
Okay. Can I just interject for two seconds here?
Yeah, please. Uh-huh.
Okay. The interjection goes like this. Today is Molly's Friday. She's off the next 2 days. And as we do on this podcast on Fridays, Molly has been at the sauce a little bit.
It's true. I have had I have had two sips of beer at this point, and I am basically just off the rails.
Anyway.
But there seems to be no sign that those APRs are going down.
No.
Some credit cards are offering a little bit of a grace period to people. But listen, like there, I just heard a story today about a woman saying, well, I couldn't get a break on my rent from my landlord. I can space it out over the month. So I'm just going to start putting everything else on. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
My credit card. Like, I think that all of this, credit cards and credit ratings, are going to be a huge long-term story related to this that at least in the current moment is like on a fairly unconscionable trend line.
Yeah. And arguably not sustainable. And look, this is the thing we're working on for Marketplace for early next week. Consumers, as we say all the time on this podcast and on Marketplace and everywhere, consumer spending or spending on behalf of consumers accounts for 70% of this economy, plus or minus. What is that going to look like on the other side of whatever we're going through right now, right? Because it's not like consumers are going to bounce right back. It's not like we're going to be buying hotel rooms and airplane tickets and all of that stuff right out the gate. And I think we really need to think about that. And one of those issues is consumer debt and revolving debt.
And people already have huge amounts of debt.
Yes, we do.
I think the average consumer debt load is something like $6,000 for most people. That's the average. I mean, for a lot of folks, I Googled it.
Right.
For a lot of folks,
and this in
a
society where, and that load in a society where, you know, marketplace surveys have showed and Federal Reserve surveys have showed most Americans don't have $1,000. That was the marketplace survey, or $400, which was the Fed survey. I think they might be backwards. Anyway, people don't have a lot of spare cash if an emergency comes up. So $6,000 is a lot of debt.
Yeah. And all that debt is going to be at 17 to 26% APR. Well, you can get a mortgage for zero. Lucky you. Next, Andrew Shireen, a geologist. I'm on it. Andrew Shireen is a geologist from Long Beach, California. He has a question for Kai. He writes, I've been listening to Marketplace for years now, and I recall several times early last year when the R word was in the ether, you would say something along the lines of, recessions happen all the time. They're normal. The next one will not be nearly as deep or scary or traumatic as the Great Recession. So my question is this. Were you wrong?
Okay, so number one,
is that
ouch.
Even fair? Come on.
Come on, man. Look, yes, of course I was wrong. But then again, nobody counted on the entire global economy getting hit by a bus. I mean, I will say this in my defense. On January the 24th, I had David Gura and Neela Richardson on Marketplace on a Friday, and we did the wrap. And my opening question was, you guys, do you think that this coronavirus thing, which was then just burbling into Western media, could be a black swan that kills a global economy? So, you know, whatever.
There you go.
But yes, I was wrong. Fine. Be that way.
I mean, is that fair?
It's fine.
Like,
should you have to couch every...
Yeah, you know what? You're right, actually.
I'm accountable.
Way to set a good example, Kai.
There you go, because my kids are listening to this podcast. Not. Last one, Heather Angeles, and it goes like this. When you first started this podcast, you said one of its goals was to help us all, quote, keep an eye on the ball with regards to important things happening that aren't getting a lot of news coverage. So I would like to know what other newsworthy things have happened since COVID took over the news feed that may have been overlooked. I got one. You got one?
I got two. Yeah. You go.
Okay, two. Go. No, you go.
I mean, you know I do.
Yes.
My first one is sort of like I'm using this current example as just a placeholder for a thing that's going to happen a lot. So this week, I'm unreasonably furious about Apple buying the weather app Dark Sky. Dark Sky is amazing. Wow. It's like an incredible independent weather app. Do you know it?
No, I don't, but I read a story on it today, and I'm intrigued by your outrage.
You should totally get it. It's fantastic. It's been around for years. It's wonderful. And it and
I live in
so
Southern California.
A really great app.
Do I need to spend $4 for a weather app?
So it's like microclimate. It's like, oh, at your house, Molly, it's going to start raining in 20 minutes. And it does.
Do I need that?
It's not. I don't know. It depends on how much of a weather nerd you are, you know? But it gives you, you got like a global satellite view. And I mean, it's a really good app. And more importantly, it has APIs, it has software extensions that are used by lots of other companies to fuel their weather-related data. Runkeeper.
I see where you're going.
Is like the weather looks like this. And it's an Android app, which is amazing. And so Apple bought Dark Sky. They're killing the Android app. And they are shuttering the software extensions, the APIs. So to me, this is an example of like, I tweeted about this and I was like, in a different timeline, we really would have had a conversation about competition related to the acquisition of this app so that it can make Apple's weather app better. Because we used to be talking about that competition in the tech field. And so I think you're going to see a lot of moves like this one, which is arguably anti-competitive. Maybe not in the legal way. I want to be careful here. But it reduces competition and takes a player off of the board. And I think we will see moves like that that otherwise might not have been received very well by, say, the FTC. Also, climate change.
You know what's really funny is this whole thing is doing wonders for climate change, but we're not talking about climate change anymore.
Right.
Right? I mean, emissions are down and air is clear and, you know, all that good stuff.
And there's a huge like Paris Climate Accord milestone that I think is supposed to happen that's going to get like just blown past. And yeah, no, a lot of things are not, a lot of things related to climate that are urgent are taking a back seat.
No, that's a good one. That's good. That's good. Very, very on brand for you. That's awesome.
I try.
No, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. All right. Your turn. We got to make me smile or what? Oh, yeah. Oh, mine is much more pedestrian, much more mundane. I was just thinking of like news events that aren't getting a lot of press. Yeah. I think it's really interesting. And this is my political science nerd at heart, right? This is my history and politics and stuff. I think it's really interesting that Benny Gantz joined Bibi Netanyahu's coalition. And there's going to be a government in Israel. I literally had a dream about that the other night. I'm so weird. I did.
I have so many questions about you right now.
It was weird. They were standing. Okay, so here's what it was.
I'm mesmerized.
They were human bar graphs, and Benny Gantz. There had been an election, and Benny Gantz had gotten more people than Bibi did. And so Bibi was standing on a bar graph that represented like 2 seats, and Benny Gantz was standing on a bar graph that represented like 49 seats. And that was, I don't know, it was weird. Anyway, come on, now don't make fun of me.
I love it. I think you need a spring break, but I also really love it. Okay. It's amazing.
All right, fine.
All right, I am cracking up already, but we also have a make me smile.
It's a good one.
Did you bring one, or do we just have the one?
No. This is a community make me smile, because it's a good one.
Yeah, totally.
Emily, I think
it's going to be a trend. I'm excited about this. Emily wrote in to ask us a favor. We are a couple days late on it because the actual event was March 30th. But we just wanted to say happy birthday to Shiv Majaria. Yay. We know you are stuck inside on self-quarantine. You are missing the giant annual party that you usually throw. And good for you, because I do the same thing every year. But we hope we made you smile. Happy belated.
There you go.
Kai, you have to say it too.
There you go. Happy birthday, Shiv. Happy birthday, Shiv. No singing, though. I'm not singing. All right, we got to go.
No,
holy cow,
no,
we're 14 minutes. Got to hit it.
I know.
Got to hit
it. Okay, goodbye. That's
it
for the podcast. Let's see. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. Put questions or maybe birthdays in the subject line.
Yes.
We'll see you then.
Back tomorrow with Regular News Fix. It's going to be me and Kimberly Adams, by the way. Molly's off.
It's going to be great.
Doing whatever she's doing.
Can't wait to hear it.
We're out of here.
Flying to London. Just joking. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, And our senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And thank you to writer, producer Erica Phillips, who coined What Do You Want to Know Wednesdays?
Daniel Ramirez engineered the show. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday. And Daniel Ramirez, the executive director of On Demand, is Tatar Nieves. It's never going to get old. Senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. Yeah, it just doesn't work that way.
It's not as good.
I tried. Yeah. Sorry, Deb. We should just leave Deb out of the credit. See if she notices. let's do that.
I'm going to do it while you're gone.
I'm going to do it while you're gone so that I get in trouble and you don't.
Oh, look at you. Chivalry is not dead.